Change at Oglethorpe by Peter Morford, starring Peter Davison and Michael Williams. Episode 6, Foreign Parts.
Right, the passenger throughput figures. I don't think there are any surprises.
No, I see Oglethorpe is flat bottom, the least used manned unit on the whole network.
Look, as long as I am area manager, Graham, I shall fight to keep all my teams up and running and at full strength.
But the fate of Oglethorpe could be taken out of your hands, couldn't it? If your young Mr. Clare goes, he makes 8 senior grade resignations there in the last 24 months. That's an automatic head office inquiry, Arthur. And let's face it, Oglethorpe's chances of surviving that would be virtually nil.
Fortunately, Mr. Clare likes his job. He's not about to leave.
Why you are so concerned about preserving the likes of Oglethorpe, I cannot imagine. Still, I've got work to do. See you later, Arthur.
Indeed. Imagination never was your strong suit, was it, Graham? Hello? Paulo's? Yes, I'd like to book a table for Saturday evening. For 2. Sod. Arthur Sod.
Hot pot ready, David.
Oh, I need this. Think I'll take it over by the fire, chaps, if you don't mind.
Oh, like that, is it?
Read my magazine whilst I defrost.
I'll bring you a tea over in a minute. Have you got me video rocket?
I have. It's in ticket office. Hope you remembered mine.
Aye, there you go.
Now, were that comedy or weren't it?
Well, you know the bloke's act. He stands there with his hand on his face, chewing his finger like.
Aye.
The day war broke out. Laugh. I thought I'd never start.
You what? You've plumbed some depth since you've been here, but rubbishing the great Rob Wilton is the lowest yet.
Cheers. Anyways, how'd you get on with mine?
Yeah, how do you expect folk in the right mind to get on with that rubbish?
Vic and Bob are the funniest people on the planet.
Funny? Explain to me, young lady, what could possibly be funny about two blokes riding about on bikes, Frenchmen admitted, getting their bums off to music.
Oh, brilliant, man.
Sorry to break up the moral maze, but the ticket office?
Okay, man.
Yeah, we're off.
You see, your modern-day performer's a different animal from the old-time cutters you go for.
You can say that again.
Take Batman. Now, in your day, the bloke that played him was a right greasy old walloper, wasn't he? Now, we've got Val Kilmer.
Never heard of him.
Tea.
Thanks.
Thawed out yet?
Just about.
Lovely reading by an open fire, isn't it?
You need to be able to turn the pages to get the most out of it, though, don't you?
One gets used to Oglethorpe weather in time, you know. Roy calls the blind leading the blind. Oh, that's an unusual illustration for your railway magazine.
Department of Transport team photo.
Oh, David.
No, this is Art Quarterly, June. First copy I've bought in years.
Really?
It was giving a lecture the other day. Rekindled my interest.
Oh, that's marvellous.
Yes. You know, I was only going to show a couple of slides, but when I got talking about the paintings, I just couldn't stop. And all because you talked me into the idea.
I'm so glad. I always think it's a shame when something meaningful goes out of a person's life. I used to derive enormous pleasure from old shoe trees, you know.
Yes. Well, I can see why you would.
Had a wonderful collection at one time.
Lunchby train, platform 2.
Rubbish. But then, when it come to Robin Hood, there were no one to touch Harold Smith.
Kevin Costner, now he's your Robin Hood back. Scored Ormond Dryden Sludgeby, platform 2.
Will they ever stop? Anyway, where were we? Oh, yes. My shoe tree collection.
Sorry, June, it's just this article. It's by Brian Thornton, former colleague of mine from university. Real kindred spirit was Brian. Went to Australia. University of New South Wales. Hey, he's chairing the department. Good old Brian.
And you're running a British Rail station, David. The university should be very proud of itself. 2 such illustrious old boys.
Edward Train, platform 1. Jolly wise woman. There's your task.
Running a station, is that what I'm doing?
Morning, June. Mr. Clare.
Patty.
Morning.
Oh, excuse me a minute, David.
Oh, no, please.
Grande.
Lovely, isn't it?
As old Granny Platt used to say, it's as crisp as a crust on a week-old cowpat.
What a colourful lady.
Now then, how are the psychic vibrations at the minute, love? Getting tuned in for Friday evening's do?
2 breakfasts at Tiffany's with extra fry bread?
Spot on. What a gift.
Brief encounter.
Ah, June. It's Arthur here.
Oh, hello, Arthur.
A slightly unusual reason for ringing. A colleague of mine has had to cancel a dinner engagement with me on Saturday, and I was wondering if, I was wondering if you'd do me the honour of accepting in his stead.
Oh, well, this is very unexpected.
It's at Paulo's, 8 o'clock. Of course, I would perfectly understand if it wasn't convenient, a bit short notice.
Paulo's, did you say? Oh, we've certainly revolved in some exclusive circles, Arthur. How nice of you to think of me.
Not at all. Is it definite, then?
Saturday? Why not?
Excellent. I'll order the taxi for about 7:30.
Fine.
Till Saturday, then.
Yes, indeed. Bye, Arthur, and thank you again. Life is full of surprises, isn't it? Would be, if I didn't have the gift, I mean.
Any road, there's that many folk I'd like you to get through to on Friday. There's my Uncle Harry, for a start. He were a plumber, you know, and I'm wondering whether to get the diner rub man in.
Hello, Brian Thornton here.
Brian, hold on to your bush hat. It's David Clare here.
No.
Yes.
This is so strange. I was only thinking of you last week. Great to hear from you. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Oh, you know, struggling along.
So I gather, Mr. Head of Department.
Incredible, isn't it?
Totally. No, congratulations, mate.
Thanks. How did you know?
Just read your Art Quarterly piece. Well, I say you're. I'd sue for plagiarism, but I'm above that sort of thing.
I only steal from the best. What are you doing now?
Well, you remember my interest in railways?
No, I don't remember an interest. I remember an obsession.
I'm running a small British rail station in Yorkshire.
Seriously?
Seriously. Well, semi-seriously.
Oh, that's great, really.
But?
Well, it just seems a bit of a waste. I mean, anybody could run a railway station, couldn't they?
No, they could not.
All right, they couldn't, but how many people could achieve what you did at LMU?
I think you must have been downing too many tinnies.
Feel like downing a couple with me?
Don't think the old holiday pay would take me quite that far.
I'm not talking about a holiday.
Oh?
Listen, David, this might sound a bit off the wall, but the reason you came into my mind the other day was that a teaching vacancy came up in this department. Well, it's so far up your street, it's practically got your name on it.
Brian, that's really flattering, but, you know...
You know what?
Don't you remember why I left teaching?
Yes, but here you wouldn't have the Russian front of critical approaches U-231 to cope with, as well as all your other courses. The whole thing is perfect for you, and you'd be perfect for it.
Me and about 500 others.
You're an ideal candidate, and you'd probably be a red-hot favourite even if I didn't happen to be heading the appointments board. Which I am, by the way. David?
Yes?
I'll send you a job description and a prospectus.
No.
What's the weather like with you?
Crisp.
Bit cool here today. 85 degrees. Just off for a dip in the ocean.
Are you? Well, look, must dash. It's been great to talk to you.
Same here. Look, David, think about it. Okay?
Bye, Brian. All the best.
Keep in touch and keep warm.
I will. So long. Oh, wow.
Oh, God.
You're right, David.
Oh, still here, Point?
No, I've gone home.
Yes, well, I'm not surprised I've been reduced to stating the obvious. This weather...
Aye, blows the cobwebs off the old brain, doesn't it?
Blows the cobwebs off? It virtually lobotomises you.
Oh, you're exaggerating, man.
I practically lost the will to live battling across the footbridge just then. It was like being shot blasted from in front and water cannon from below at the same time.
I tell you, it's raining upwards out there.
Oh, does that regular in the winter. Something to do with the shape of the Ogle Valley, according to Robert.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, it can get a lot worse. You see, we often get this special wind here. It comes blasting straight down the valley from the north.
Oh, sort of freezing cold mistral, typical.
Oh, it does have a name, actually.
Oh, yes?
It's called That Bastard Wind.
Uh-huh.
Yeah? About this time last season, the wagon had a first-round cup match at Scold United. It was a day like this to start with. Bit blowy, not too bad. Straight from the kick-off, we win a corner. Wassie and the skipper called us over to take it. So, I step up to the ball, give it the old educated right boot, and off it goes, right on target. Then out of nowhere, whoosh, the bastard wind. Why, the ball never comes down, man. It clears the stand at the opposite end of the pitch and it just keeps going. Over the leisure centre, over the industrial estate, over the viaduct, narrowly missing the 2:45 Digworth to Sludgeby, before finally it comes crash landing down, slap bang on the head of a pensioner in Victoria Terrace. He was in his back garden when the wind blew up like, and he just couldn't get back in the house. He'd been running on the spot for 10 full minutes before the ball hit him, apparently.
He wasn't badly hurt, was he?
Oh, killed him stone dead.
What was the outcome of all this?
We won 3-0. Mind you, I had to buy United a new ball. The old fella's wife kept the original as a souvenir. She had it mounted on the bedhead.
Points. Was there one word of truth in any of that?
Yeah. In a way.
In what way?
In a totally exaggerated, made-up sort of way. We only won 2-0. Right, I'm off for a cuppa. Are you coming?
I can't. I've got the STO's report, the area office returns and the Red Star book to sort out.
Oh, already done them.
Have you?
Aye. Past the time, like.
Past the time?
Aye. What's up?
Points, is there anything I can do here that you can't? And I don't mean being able to use the men's urinals, either.
Oh, I think you'd be on a loser there, David. Last Christmas, I'd had a few.
No. I'm serious.
Something you can do here that I can't?
Yes.
Can you get any chocolate out that machine?
No.
I can't think of anything, then.
Neither can I.
What are you getting at, man?
My function, my raison d'etre. I'm about as much use here as a...
A one-legged man in an arse-kicking contest.
Oh, something like that.
Nah, you're all right, man. Are you coming?
No points. You go on, I'll join you in a minute or two.
Okay, I'll see you in a bit.
Director Inquiries International?
Chuck us another T-shirt, David.
Oh.
Cheers. As always, the tea leaves tell all.
Ah, they say my mug's empty. Is there another one in that pot?
Just a minute, Rocket. I'm getting in training for Friday.
Hiya.
These leaves tell me you're going on a long journey.
Give over.
I tell you who is going on a long journey. David.
Oh?
He's going to apply for a job in Australia.
Oh, aye.
What makes you think that?
He's just been on the phone to this university mate of his out there. Brian somebody or other. I couldn't help overhearing, like. I had my ear jammed the keyhole.
Oh, no.
Clearly, it hasn't lasted 2 minutes, has it?
I bet I know what's tipped the scales. It's the Oglethorpe winter blues. I was just the same in my first year here. I mean, well, up until last week, he's been really happy here, hasn't he?
And look how excited he was at us getting our own steam engine.
We need a plan.
It'd be funny, won't it? Putting a plan together without David.
I'll leave you to it. I've my pigeons to see to.
Oh, this is no time for pigeons, man. No, it's all right. You go, Rocket. We'll come up with something, Point.
See this?
Miserable old bugger.
Don't be too hasty. Rocket has been known to do some serious cogitating in his pigeon loft.
Oh, has he?
Right, let's get our thinking caps on. We're not leaving this room until we've come up with something really foolproof.
Anyways, are you right, David? Might get a seat if we didn't hurry up. June's psychic dues are very popular, you know.
Why I am even contemplating going, I don't know. Or you, for that matter. You're just as sceptical of her occult skills as I am.
Oh, most of it's tut, man. But she can be spot on with her predictions. She once told this bloke who ran the talk of Oglethorpe nightclub, used to be a classy joint down by the abattoir, she'd tell him if he didn't replace his electric kettle flex, he'd get a shock off it so bad it would turn his hair white on the spot. Oh, he didn't take any notice. The car lad bloke Albino Bob now.
This is another bastard wind story, isn't it, Points?
No, I'm not having a laugh with you this time. This is straight up. You coming?
Well...
June's fire's a lot warmer than this stove.
What are we waiting for?
Thank you. David! I was expecting you.
Well, that bodes well for the evening, June. Oh, 50 pence. I'll get yours, points.
Yes. Hey, couple of seats over there, look.
Right.
May the force be with you, June. This isn't Star Wars. Thank you.
Oh. Evening, Mr. Clare. Mr. Pointer.
Evening.
Here, sit next to the fire.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, aye. If I stay here, I'll be sweating like a pig in pyjamas when it gets exciting later on.
Well, in that case, thank you. What form is the excitement likely to take?
Well, just recent. June's taken to Frolicking Bear.
Has she?
Aye. He romps through the mystical brightness beyond, he does.
Ah. Frolicking Bear is a...
spirit level. Navajo Indian chief from Bootley is... Have I to translate, Mr. Clare?
Please.
Frolicking Bear is a spirit guide, and he's from Butte, you clothhead. It's in Montana, America.
Well, I didn't think he sounded very Liverpool.
Hey-o.
Welcome, dear friends. Without further ado, let us close our eyes and hold hands. The circle is complete. Frolicking Bear, Frolicking Bear... Are you there? Are you there? Come down from that shining reservation in the sky and walk among us. Cross the mighty astral plane to Oglethorpe Station and our humble but superb cafe. Group catering speciality.
It is dawn.
Is it here?
Shh. Speak to us.
There is one here called Robert. Roger. Ronald. Does anyone have a loved one called Robert? Roger. Ronald. Richard, then. Does anybody know a Robert?
Yes.
Who is this Robert Hattie Clark of which you speak?
My improver's brother-in-law's called Robert. Now then.
He has black hair.
Not so much black, more...
brown.
Fair.
Fair, yes. Tell him to beware fire that burns. Lucky number 7, lucky colour, puce.
I will, Frolicking Bear. Have you a message from my Herbert?
Herbert say he's feeling right, champion, and don't forget to turn up greenhouse heater now it's getting nesh.
Do you know, I did that just this morning.
Wow.
There.
Oh, there is one here. With the initials D.C.
David?
Not necessarily me, points.
And I don't mean Doreen Clegg either. This is a man. He has friend across a great water. I see a harbour of shining beauty. I see books. I see paintings on little squares of glass. I see eager learning faces. I see sand and surf. But there is trouble. I must concentrate.
Hey, where do you think that could be, David?
Bognor.
Well, it didn't sound like Bognor to me, man. More like...
Australia? It could almost be Sydney, couldn't it? Some sort of college, perhaps.
Aye, could be.
Yes. Friend is pulling. But DC must not go. Apart from operas of soap and ever-present threat of skin cancer, there is a very real danger of another nervous breakdown, David.
David, it's you he's on about. What do you think it means, man?
It means that you, me, June and Rocket are having a get-together at my place tomorrow evening.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me, everyone. Sorry, I've just remembered something that I need to attend to.
It's wrong circle now.
Oh, David.
I must go, June. You carry on.
Can Frolicking Bear tell us where I've left Miss Secateurs?
Oh, shh.
Good evening, Mr. Sod. Table for two.
A good evening. May I welcome you to Paolo's?
Thank you. Has my companion, Miss June Virgo, arrived?
Not as yet. Would you care for an aperitif?
No, but I certainly hope you have plenty of champagne on ice for later.
Oh, of course, Mr. Sod. If you would follow me, I will send the wine steward over to you shortly.
That was lovely.
Right, chaps. Whilst we're waiting for dessert, I have an announcement to make, which I don't know how, but I know will come as no surprise to you. I have more or less been offered a lecturing job in Australia, and I've more or less decided to take it.
Oh, Wyman, it's the weather, isn't it, David?
Shush! Let lad speak.
I can't believe the weather, but I'm not going because of that. It's a number of things. First, thanks to you, June, I've realised that despite everything, I've actually missed teaching for the last couple of years. Second, thanks to you, Rocket, I've realised that my love of railways has as much, if not more, to do with the romance of the past as with the realities of the present. As you've so often said, a modern-day SGO is more of a glorified clerk than a proper station master. And third, thanks to you, Points, I realise that I'm only nominally in charge anyway. Oh, don't get me wrong. I really enjoy life at the station. Most of the time. And it's been a very hard decision to make, but by a gnat's eyelash, I think that Australia's probably too good an opportunity to miss.
Right. Now hear our side. Rocket?
You know, David, lad, when that 6:10 Digworth were running 25 minutes late last night, I thought to myself, this is a bit of a different carry-on from when I started at station 50 years ago. Because then, that same 6:10 service wouldn't have been a miserable two-coach diesel rail car painted a sickly blue and yellow you wouldn't inflict on a kid's go-kart. Engine would be Sir William Stanier design Black Fiver. And it comes snorting and steaming into station like so it alive. And coaches would be pulling belined and crested crimson beauties that made passengers feel they were somebody just to be riding in them. And if that train had been 1 minute late, it'd have been a talking point.
Here we go again.
But not everything that happened in them days was so magnificent. And not all of folk were either. We had some right buggers here as station masters after war and right through 50s. Most of them never saw what you and I see land in a steam locomotive, stately viaduct, or an old semaphore signal gantry. What I'm trying to say is, you might be far too clever for your own good in some ways and not know your ass from your elbow in others. But you'll do for me, David. And I'd rather have you in charge of my station than anybody else they're likely to chuck at us. So, if it'll do any good, here.
That was beautiful, Rocket.
I hereby a half share in old Bessie.
Aye. Of course, it'll be a delay, but it's there if you want it.
I'm incredibly touched by this.
Points? David, I'll be honest with you. I don't reckon all that much to trains. Of any sort, really. I mean, they get you from A to B, don't they? Sometimes. All I know is, it's been a million times more fun having you at the station than any of the other SGOs we've had. Anyways, you remember that Spot the Ball holiday competition I won, and I cannot go because the successful cup run we're bound to have again? Well, there was no cash alternative. So there you go. Concord to Miami for two, if you'll stay.
Well done, lass.
Points.
And I've got something for you as well, David.
June, if it's a half-share and brief encounter, I'm going to burst into tears.
Oh, no. It's two sets of thermal underwear, vest, pants and socks.
That's really thoughtful.
I hope you'll be needing them.
I can't tell you, all of you, what your generosity and your wanting me to stay means to me. It's something I'll never forget. Excuse me a second. Hello.
David, this is Arthur Sod here.
Oh, this is a timely call, Mr. Sod.
Is it? I've been trying to get hold of Miss Virgo for quite some time.
Well, she's here, actually. We're having an extraordinary team meeting.
Again?
Yes. I'll put her on. And June. Sounds a bit merry.
Arthur? Oh, I'm so embarrassed. I'm afraid this meeting put our dinner engagement right out of my mind. Can you forgive me?
Of course. Of course. All in the railway line of duty, eh? I'm just glad you're all right. I were a little worried.
How sweet of you to take that attitude.
We'll do it some other time, perhaps.
That would be delightful.
Next Saturday, then.
Oh, it's a date.
A definite date? Excellent.
Thanks again for being so nice. Here's Mr. Clare.
Oh, dinner with Arthur, eh?
Shut up, points.
I'm sorry to have inadvertently spoiled your evening, Mr. Sod.
Oh, don't worry, lad. Your conscientiousness does you credit.
Thank you.
Particularly pleasing for me because I am probably the only area manager in the country who would have appointed you as an SGO, Dave.
Yes. Actually, that's what I wanted to have a word about.
But I was right, wasn't I? I mean, I could see, despite all the indications to the contrary, that you were first and foremost a railman. And thank goodness for the continued existence of Oglethorpe you were, eh?
What do you mean?
Well, I shouldn't really say this, but it's the old rules and regs, David. Another resignation at Oglethorpe, and it would be head office inquiry time. To be quite frank, D. Manning would probably be the thin end of a very thick wedge. Anyway, you're at the helm, so that doesn't apply.
Well, the thing is...
Better hurry up, David. Check-in time's nearly over.
I can't believe that taxi fare.
Oh, I cannot believe I'm here.
Well, cheer up. You're flying off to Miami, the Florida Keys, the Everglades.
Disney World.
Aye, but knocked out the cup in the first round. So much for your prediction, June.
Tickets, sir. Just the one case.
Aye. Have you any tea facilities on board? Only I brought me pint mug from work.
I'm sure we can accommodate you, sir. Your ticket, sir. Gate 1, boarding now.
Last call, check-in, British Airways Concorde service to Miami, desk 3.
Hey, some power in that PA, man. I wouldn't mind a go on that.
Ticket, madam.
Right. Anyways, cheers for coming to see us off.
Our pleasure.
Give my love to old Bessie, Rocket.
No getting soft now, lad. No point hanging round, neither. Don't want to be late for your first night school, do?
Aye, and if any of them turn up with an apple for the teacher, watch them. No, I hope it goes well, man.
Should do. I'm starting them off with the Impressionists.
Oh, I like a good Impressionist myself. Peter Kavanagh, the voice of them all, he was.
No, Rory Bremner, he's the kiddie.
Rubbish. Goody to Gilbert Harding, I don't think.
We'll leave you now. Have a great time.
Send us a postcard, won't you?
Aye, right.
Shalom.
Gilbert Harden. Who the hell's that? One of that Ron Wilton's mates.
Ron Wilton. Ron, you great Nelly.
Bliss. 2 weeks respite from the Oglethorpe Debating Society.
I don't know what Frolicking Bear might have to say about it, but I predict a double axe murder before the first week is out.
Here is a passenger announcement. Would Oglethorpe Station senior grade operative David Clare kindly remember to pay me club subs when Wasim comes round, or I'll do them when I get back.
Quick, June, leg it.
All right, Bucket, I'm doing it. And his nip says, didn't forget to see to his pigeons. Mug out the ferrets. Keep them kids off his allotment. Oh, aye, and the old bookstore could do with a lick of paint.
In episode 6 of Change at Oglethorpe, David was played by Peter Davison, Rocket by Michael Williams, June by Rosemary Martin, Points by Philippa Wilson, Hattie by Madge Hindle, Brian by Peter Silverleaf, and Mr. Sod by Chris Emmett. Change at Oglethorpe was written by Peter Morfoot and produced by Gareth Edwards.